We believe in running a law firm on the rule of thirds. One third of revenue goes to pay people. One third goes to overhead, which includes marketing, sorry. And one third goes to profit. So are you as a law firm owner taking at least one third home? And if you're personal injury, we can push that up to 40, 50, even sometimes 60%. Are you getting the type of profit margin that you should be? Because that's what any buyer is going to look at.
Welcome to the 10 Golden Rules of Internet Marketing for Law Firms podcast, featuring the latest strategies and techniques to drive traffic to your website and convert that traffic into clients. Now, here's the founder and CEO of 10 Golden Rules, Jay Berkowitz.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We're actually coming to you from about 5 o'clock. It's cocktail o'clock here in New Orleans at the Pilma Show. So it's going to be a lot of action throughout this interview, but I always say good morning, good afternoon, good evening, because when people listen to a podcast, it's not always good morning. And a lot of people say good morning on podcasts. So welcome to the 10 Golden Rules of Internet Marketing for Law Firms podcast. So we're live today with Brooke Lively, and she's got a new book. We wanted to talk about it. We want to learn all about prepping your law firm for sale or selling your law firm with an amazing exit. Would that be a good way of summing up?
Yeah.
Part of your expertise.
It is.
And your day job is helping law firms as like an outsourced CFO.
Mm-hmm. I own a fractional CFO company called CathCap, and I'm also an EOS implementer. So I help law firms get three things, vision, traction, and healthy.
Vision, traction, and healthy. So that's like a takeoff on the EOS. We'll talk about EOS in a minute. But I read the book. The book is called?
Exit on Top.
Exit on Top. I didn't read the whole book, but I'm working my way through it, and it's fantastic. And basically the concept is, you know, as I took from it, if you prep your law firm for sale, what you're doing is you're making a law firm that generates its own leads, manages itself. You can take time off. And because essentially the leader of the firm, if they sell, they have to be able to exit. And so the firm's got to be able to run itself, right?
Yeah. So here's the thing. A firm that's an attractive acquisition throws off a lot of cash, has happy employees and happy clients, and doesn't take a lot of effort from the owner. Okay, so, who doesn't want to own that firm?
Right. And then, so a lot of people, and I know in your book, someone very, very close to you, you fixed the firm, you got it ready for sale, and then they didn't sell. And the person very close to you was?
My father and brother.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so funny. In the book, I tell the story that we were going to sell. I even knew who we were going to sell to. Like we were down that road, and I was getting the firm ready to sell. And then I finally went to my father and I said, "Daddy, have you ever watched that TV show, Love It or List It?" And, you know, HGTV, not really my father's favorite channel. So
I hadn't seen it at all.
No, it like right over his head.
Yeah.
And so I explained that, you know, there's a couple, they get a budget to fix up their existing house. And then they also look for a new house. And after their existing house is fixed up, they have to decide if they have fallen in love with that house, that newly renovated, you know, fresh paint smell house, or if they want to list that and buy the new house.
And there's it's a couple, right? And one of them is like the general contractor fixes up
the
house.
Oh, no. They bring people in.
They bring people in.
They bring an
outside
person
in. And one of them's like a real estate salesperson who wants to sell it.
Yeah. And basically that was what happened with my family's law firm. I came in, I fixed it up, and my brother fell in love with the law firm.
So are you a CPA?
I am an MBA CFA.
MBA CFA. So you really understand the numbers on the firm. So what are a couple of the basic tips for someone who wants to set their firm up so they love it? And or could list it.
So you want a firm, the biggest thing is you want a firm that doesn't depend on you. So let's talk about marketing.
Sure.
That one's near and dear to your heart, right?
Yeah.
So if you're going to buy a firm, you want a firm that does not depend on the name and the image of the owner.
Yeah.
Because unless you find another Jay Berkowitz who looks exactly like you to sell your firm to, it's really hard to sell that.
And so that's buyer, one of the first principles is the naming and the branding?
Well, it is. You know, how dependent is it on you?
Yeah.
And so the less dependent you can make it in every aspect, in the marketing, in the financials, in, you know, the people.
So number one is the branding.
Look at the branding.
Number two is the marketing. And so you have to be able to generate leads. You have to be able to sign new clients without the owner being the sole rainmaker.
Being the sole person who is there turning the crank to make the machine work.
The reputation, so long as it's the reputation of the firm, is okay.
Right. And it needs to be the reputation of the firm, because you can sell the reputation of the firm. You can't sell your personal reputation. I think, you know, really the most important thing is the firm making money? And we believe in running a law firm on the rule of thirds. One third of revenue goes to pay people. One third goes to overhead, which includes marketing, sorry. And one third goes to profit. So are you, as a law firm owner, taking at least one third home? And if you're personal injury, we can push that up to 40, 50, even sometimes 60%.
Wow, that's awesome.
So are you getting the type of profit margin that you should be? Because that's what any buyer is going to look at.
Yeah, by the way, we're at the PILMA trade show, Personal Injury Lawyer Marketing and Management Association. Brooke and I are both speaking here, and we're, you know, it's about 15 or 20 minutes before cocktails. So that's all the action in the background. And then probably in a minute, they'll let out the trade show and there'll be a lot more action in the background. So this will be, for those of you who like the shorter podcast, this will be a mercifully short version of the 10 Golden Rules of Internet Marketing for Law Firms podcast. But Brooke, tell me a little bit about the book. What was the genesis? And you told me the name.
Yeah, it really,
the name of the book is?
Exit on Top.
Exit on Top.
Oh, and are a marketing guy. You're going to have me keep
the
saying
subtitle
that.
Is, there's a really good subtitle, right?
Yes, there is.
And you can't.
Not at the moment.
So you want to just go to Amazon, Brooke Lively, Exit on Top. Comes up. That's how I bought it. Yeah. And what was the genesis of the book? And talk to us about writing it, because so many people are on to write a book and don't get it done, or dream of getting it done.
Yeah, so this is book number 6 for me.
Oh, okay. So
I have gotten this down now. But really, it started because I was at an event in Miami about a year and a half ago. And they had the head of the Arizona Ethics Committee there talking about non-attorney firm ownership. And I was like, oh my God, this is it. I'm going to own a law firm. Because let me tell you, I am not an attorney, but I can run the crud out of a law firm. I know exactly how to do it.
Yeah.
Because I run a law firm on the numbers using data.
It's just a business.
It's a business.
As a matter of fact, more attorneys should run a law firm like a business, not like
a practice.
A court law, you know, lawyer.
Yeah.
You know, trial lawyer.
And so I got all excited about that. I thought, all right, I'm going to do this. You know, I'm a typical visionary, shiny object, let's go chase it. And I stopped and I started thinking about how that was going to impact all of our clients and what non-attorney ownership was going to mean to them. And I thought, I've got to prepare all of our firms to compete with law firms who are run by business people. They've got to get really good at this. And then I also realized at the same time, we are looking at a period of time where all the baby boomers are retiring. There are more law firms that are going to change hands than ever before in history over the next 10 to 20 years. And the ability of non-attorneys to buy a law firm, I know it's only in 2 states right now, and the District of Columbia, Utah, Arizona, and DC, but I think that it will spread. I think that we're going to have it in other places. It's going to happen. Attorneys, you guys have done a great job of protecting your industry, but sorry, the
time
walls
to
are coming
up.
Down.
Lawyer up and protect yourselves.
And so I was like, I've got to prepare them. They need to understand that they've got a great asset that's worth something. You can sell it. There's value in that practice. There's value in that firm. There is value in that business that you have built.
So tell us a couple case studies, because you know, I think there's sort of the urban myth that law firms are not that sellable.
I think you're absolutely right. I think people have traditionally, you know, I say this, attorneys have kind of milked a law firm for all it's worth while they've owned it. You know, they might have bought in as a partner. You milk up for everything it's worth, and then if you're lucky, you kind of sell your shares and get out, and maybe get out your original investment.
I mean, I guess the big white shoe firms, the corporate firms,
they do that.
Sell their shares to young partners. But we're at a PI conference, and we hang out with a lot of personal injury guys.
Yeah, and so that's not true anymore. So, you know, there are a couple of different buyers right now. So there are family buyers. So like my family, for example. Yeah. My father wanted to practice law with his son, wanted to leave the firm to him. Traditionally, he would just kind of bonk him on a head with a magic wand and give him the firm.
Yeah.
That can't happen anymore. There have been some changes in the law, and you now have to report corporate ownership. And so that's going to start to trigger a tax event.
And you have
event.
To transition, yeah.
So you have to look at that. So I've got a client started working with us when they were doing about $5 million. Firm was not worth a lot. It was worth probably $1.2, $1.7 million when he started working with us. He grew the firm to $20 million. They
nice.
Did $25 million last year. They're going to do over $25 million this year. His father gifted him 40% of the firm back when it was doing $5 million. Yeah. Well, they've got a problem. And the problem
capital
is
gains.
This. Yes, the firm is worth so much now that the trust and estate attorneys can't figure out how to transfer this firm that is now worth $12 million from the remaining 60%
remaining
from the
60%.
Father to the son without triggering a tax event. And what they're really worried about is that his father might get hit by a bus and die before they can do it, because that would totally mess up the whole estate plan. And that was...
So you can't transfer the asset in an estate?
You can, but that's going to add, you know,
additional taxes.
$7 million in value to the estate.
And then there's a tax.
And there's tax. And it's so funny, because when I was talking to him...
You can tell my dad didn't own a law firm. We didn't have to figure that out.
You weren't worried about that. You know, talking to, and I write about this in my book, and we call him Sebastian, because that was the name he wanted to use. Sebastian was on the phone with me going, you know, Brooke, this was not something we anticipated. He's like, but I didn't realize we had increased the value of the firm so much when we were working with you.
So the basic thing is, you know, start conversation with someone like Brooke. Obviously, Brooke could be the best person because of her expertise and really living this with a number of firms. But, you know, if your CPA really understands this stuff and has done some transition, start those conversations. And then the second thing is, you know, starting the conversation and read Brooke's book and start getting your firm ready to run without you in place. That's really the core principle that I learned from my firm is
yeah.
It's got to, you know, it's got to generate leads without me. It's got to be able to sell without me. Operations has to be able to run without me. And we're 5 or 10 years away from it, but that's, you know, at least we've started putting the pieces in place. And frankly, you know, the biggest thing we're putting in place is more for the sanity part of the conversation.
Yeah.
And we've done a lot of work with EOS. And Brooke and I are both big EOS fans. And Brooke's actually a trained implementer.
Mm-hmm.
So there's three confusing roles in EOS. So one's not confusing at all. So the visionary is typically the person who is the founder of a firm,
yep.
Whether it's a digital marketing agency or a law firm, they're the rainmaker, they're the big relationship person, they go to the trade shows and they love being around people.
They're the one that get distracted by the shiny object every 35
yeah.
seconds.
Well, I was saying all the good things about being a visionary. And then, you know, typically the visionary comes back from the trade show with 20 ideas and hands it off to, you know, what was historically called like a chief operating officer.
Right.
And in EOS, we call it an integrator. So the integrator is the in-house firm person. And ironically, you're a visionary for your own, mm-hmm. in your own life, but you're an implementer, which is kind of a sister role to the integrator, yeah. where someone comes from the outside and helps a firm implement EOS,
yeah, so
the entrepreneurial operating system. By the way, great webinar on our YouTube site with some fantastic law firm EOS experts. And so Mike Morris from Morris Law Firm in Detroit is a big EOS guy, wrote a book called Fireproof, and Gerardo Escalona, who's our implementer.
Oh, okay.
So check out EOS and spend some time with that. We're going to get kicked out of here, so I'm going to ask Brooke a couple of quick ones.
Okay.
And then we might come back if this might be a two-parter tomorrow, depending on your schedule.
Yeah, but, I'm open.
Quick one is, give us some software or any technology or any systems you use for personal productivity.
Well, I mean, I'm a numbers girl, so it's all about Excel. I've got spreadsheets galore, but in our company, we've bought into Microsoft, and we use Power BI a lot, and we have all of our scorecards and all kinds of things nice. Running in Power BI,
and
that's been really nice. It pulls from QuickBooks, it pulls from spreadsheets, it pulls from all different kinds of places, analyzes the data, and then shows it to us very
wow.
visually.
Love it. I'd like to see it one day. And what are your go-tos in terms of blogs, podcasts, YouTubes? Like, you subscribe, and when it comes into your feed, you're like, I'm listening to that podcast first today when I'm on my workout or my walk or whatever.
Okay, well, you know, 10 golden rules first.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And then if it's not 10 golden rules, I almost always fall asleep during podcasts. So I'm not great at the podcast.
Any blogs you like or YouTubes?
I think
how about passion stuff? Like,
I think Attorney at Work is great.
Yeah.
They've got some awesome stuff on there. I read anything on travel. Like The Points Guy.
The Points Guy.
And
does travel stuff yeah. start popping up in your YouTube feed?
Yeah.
It's amazing to me how good YouTube is. Like, my stuff's basically all like hockey, tennis, training, and marketing, you know, like, and that's
yeah.
what they suggest to me all the time. And then the last one, where can people find you? You're going to find the book on Amazon, but where can they find you if they want to have a conversation?
CathCap.com, CathCap.com. And you can find me on the website, or you can email me, Brooke@CathCap.
Awesome. Brooke, thanks so much for doing this. And
thanks.
Sorry about all the action, everybody.
You know.
Thank you for listening to the 10 Golden Rules of Internet Marketing for Law Firms podcast. Please send questions and comments to podcast@tengoldenrules.com. That is podcast@tengoldenrules.com.